The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 17, Texts 4 through 5, given by Srila Ravinda Sarup Das on September the 29th, 1990, in Philadelphia.
Reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 17, Mother Parvati curses Chitrakirti. Here we are on text numbers 4 and 5 today. 4 is on the board. One time, while King Chitraketu was traveling in outer space on a brilliantly effulgent airplane given to him by Lord Vishnu, he saw Lord Shiva surrounded by siddhas and charanas. Lord Shiva was sitting in an assembly of great saintly persons and embracing Parvati on his lap with his arm. Chitraketu laughed loudly and spoke within the hearing of Parvati. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, in this connection, Bhaktim Bhutim Harir Dattva Svahacche Danu Bhut Vidanu Bhutaye Devya Shapena Vritratvam Nidvatam Swantike Anayat. The purport is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead wanted to bring Chitraketu to Vaikuntha Loka as soon as possible. The Lord's plan was that Chitraketu be cursed by Parvati to become Vritrasura, so that in his next life he could quickly return home back to Godhead. There have been many instances in which a devotee acting as a demon has been brought to the kingdom of God by the mercy of the Lord. For Parvati to be embraced by Lord Shiva was natural in a relationship between husband and wife. This was nothing extraordinary for Chitraketu to see. Nonetheless, Chitraketu laughed loudly to see Lord Shiva in that situation, even though he should not have done so. Thus he was eventually cursed, and this curse was because of his returning home, back to Godhead. One time, while King Chitraketu was traveling in outer space, on the brilliantly effulgent airplane given to him by Lord Vishnu, he saw Lord Shiva surrounded by siddhas and charanas. Lord Shiva was sitting in an assembly of great saintly persons and embracing Parvati on his lap with his arm. Chitraketu laughed loudly and spoke within the hearing of Parvati. These potatoes here, these potatoes need to be peeled. It's a peeler. Huh? Yeah, that's what it is. Potatoes to be peeled for the feast. So, now we're continuing the adventures of Maharaj Chitraketu. He's flying around on an airplane. Where did he get the airplane from? Yeah, Vishnu. Vishnu Datta. Given by Vishnu, the gift of Vishnu. So this was a person who had lots of good fortune. What we see here is somebody in the story of King Chitra who gets benedictions from Vaishnavas. The pattern seems to be that they entail some suffering, but they always end up being benediction. First of all, he got the benediction of a son, but it also entailed the suffering of the son's dying. But that turned out to be a benediction, since from that he understood his actual position. He received Divya Jnana, transcendental knowledge, and eventually got the darshan of Lord Shankarshan. So now he's in this wonderful position as the king of the Vidyadharas, and is has all the facilities of the upper planets. So now the story begins. Ekada, once upon a time, one time, he happened upon, as he was touring, he happened to see, happen upon Lord Shiva. And this strange thing happened. Little Panchatami laughed and cracked a joke. He saw what seemed to him a kind of startling contrast. All these sages sitting around in the same assembly, and in the middle of them, in public, Lord Shiva intimately embracing his wife. She was sitting on his lap. He had his arm around her. Not usually public behavior, especially not in a bunch of group of sages like that. So it struck him as incongruous. And he laughed out loud and made a wisecrack about it. It says here, in the hearing of Devi, the goddess, Parvati is called Devi, the goddess. She takes offense, or appears to take offense, and curses him because of his slighting of her husband. This is what happens. So we think here from Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura's report that this was the plan of Krishna all along. And we will also see in this chapter the way that Chitraketu took this seeming curse or setback. He exhibits a quality known as Kshanti. Shanti, Aragavam, Evacha, is one of the brahminical qualities. Shamadama, Tapasotam, Shanti, Aragavam, Evacha, Janvijanam, Aspityam, Brahmakarma, Sabhavajam. Shanti means that you can. Tolerance. Another place Prabhupada calls it forgiveness. It's also one of the qualities listed in Nectar of Devotion as one of the symptoms of bhava. When a devotee has developed to the stage of bhava, there signs by which this can be recognized. One of those signs, the most obvious signs, are this asta sattika vikara, that is to say, physiological symptoms of ecstasy, such as the body becoming erupting with goosebumps and the hair standing on end. Or intense perspiration, or becoming deadly pale, or having the voice choked, or becoming paralyzed. These are ecstatic symptoms of bhava. But Prabhupada remarks that they're not actually so reliable, because sometimes those symptoms are imitated by unscrupulous people eager to get a cheap following. There's one incident in Vrindavan that I know of where a person came before the deities and fell on the ground trembling, shaking, like an epileptic seizure. These are supposed to be the symptoms of bhava. And if Prabhupada was there, they asked him, what do we do? It's a great big crowd had gathered to watch this ecstasy. Prabhupada said, kick him out. And the devotee said, what? He said, you know. He just said, just kick him out. So they took him outside, picked him up, carried him outside. He saw he was outside, he got up and lit a cigarette and walked away. So this is imitation. Because bhava is on the platform of Vishuddha Sattva, a transcendental platform. So there'll be no sign of this kind of lighting cigarettes or any other material behavior. One has to be free from all material desire. So therefore that kind of sign is not reliable because it's imitated. And then another thing is that sometimes great devotees on the platform of bhava suppress those symptoms for circumstantial reasons. For example, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met at the bank of the Godavari River with Maharaj Prataparuja, seeing this great devotee, that immediately brought symptoms of ecstasy to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. But King Prataparuja was surrounded by non-devotee brahmanas. And because of the presence of outsiders, strangers, he suppressed these symptoms. So circumstantially, even though a person may be very advanced, those symptoms won't be there. So therefore, Nectar of Devotion lists nine other characteristics, anubhava, of one who is in bhava. So the first of these is kshanti, tolerance or forgiveness, not perturbed by untoward circumstances. And it means, actually, that a devotee in that state accepts everything as the mercy of Krishna. Doesn't differentiate between good and bad, fortunate or unfortunate, reward or punishment, feather in my cap or black eye. Everything is accepted that it's Krishna's desire. So in this way, this was Maharaj Pariksit's attitude. Well, he said, I've been cursed to die. There was an example of a curse of someone who didn't deserve it. It was excessive. And Maharaj Pariksit was cursed by Sringi, the Brahmin boy. Maharaj Pariksit had also been put into some bewilderment by the desire of Krishna, so that something would take place. And so while out in the forest hunting, Maharaj Pariksit happened upon Shomika Rishi sitting in his hermitage, his hut, his cottage in the forest. He was a forest-dwelling sage, and came in very tired and very thirsty, and was not received properly by Shomika Rishi, because Shomika Rishi was in trance. So he didn't perceive that the king had arrived and didn't offer him any water. So in his Maharaj Pariksit, as a sarcastic comment, lying nearby was the dead body of a snake, so he picked it up, I guess, with the tip of his bow and draped it around Shomika Rishi's neck like a garland. So Shomika Rishi, when he came to his senses, he saw this snake. Well, he didn't think anything of it, he just tossed it away. But his son was immensely offended. Sringi this upstart Maharaj Pariksit has done this to my father, or what he is, a dog of a kshatriya, doesn't know how to treat Brahmins and everything, and cursed him to die. And by his curse, he had created this creature, or brought forth this creature, or created, called a snake bird, which would, in a certain period of time, come and bite Maharaj Pariksit and kill him. Prabhupada comments that Maharaj Pariksit was actually a powerful devotee, and he could have easily enough counteracted this curse. But instead, he said, now I know when the time of death is coming, I have so many days. He sat down to fast by the riverbank and inquired as to from the sages, what is my duty at the time of death? So then Shukadeva Goswami came and began speaking to him 7 days, 7 nights, non-stop, as the king fasted, Srimad Bhagavatam. And the king was indifferent. This whatever magical creation of this Brahman comes, the snake bird comes and bites me, I don't care. For him, this snake was simply going to take him back to Godhead. So this is his tolerance issue. So this is one of the symptoms of a person, actually advanced devotee. They accept everything. Somehow or other, it's Krishna's mercy. They don't distinguish that there's good or bad fortune in this material world. They know that they are under the control of Krishna, and that whatever happens is Krishna's arrangement, and certainly it is, as we see. It was Krishna's arrangement that Maharaj Pariksit be cursed. And it's also the arrangement here of for Chittaketu to become cursed. So Chittaketu accepts it as a benediction, which it is. So this is one of the signs, advanced devotee. This advanced devotee means another symptom, next symptom mentioned of bhava, does not, cannot bear to spend a minute not engaged in Krishna's service. Can't see any time pass without being engaged in Krishna's service. Loathe to be idle or engaged in something other than Krishna's service is another symptom of one in bhava. So we'll not take time out for a cigarette break or go to the cinema or whatever else just to relax, you know. It's relaxed. Krishna's service is relaxing. And it's the realm of no anxiety. So this is absorbed in Krishna in this way, 100% absorbed in Krishna. So he has no worries that anything untoward or anything bad is going to happen. The trust is there in Krishna. So this is a fact, that when once one is surrendered to Krishna, Krishna takes charge of his life. And brings him back to Godhead one way or another. And Krishna has his plan for the devotees. And the devotee doesn't mind. You can think, well, what an inconvenience to have to become Vritrasura for one lifetime, or to have to get bitten by the snake bird, or whatever. Is this what Krishna wants? Will he make me do something like that? Or the devotee's attitude is, so what? If that's what Krishna wants, that's what I want to give him. If I know, because the desire of a devotee is to fulfill the desire of Krishna. And if Krishna is happy, he's happy. And whatever happens to him personally is a matter of indifference. That's the actual devotional attitude.
Because the soul, we used to use this term a lot when we were, when I joined the movement, sold out. We say sold out devotee. Because he's sold out. That was Prabhupada's expression. Gone out of fashion, but it's because it's only an illusion to think that we have some independent existence from Krishna anyway. So Krishna has his plan, he has his use, he has his idea of what he wants the devotee to do, and actually for everyone it's glorious. All of these people, King Chitraketu, Vichasura, Maharaj Krishna, they became glorified. We're still hearing 5,000 years later about Maharaj Pariksit. No other reputations have lasted this long except the devotees of the Lord or the Lord himself. Otherwise you don't hear about them. 5,000 years from now you'll not hear about President Bush, Saddam Hussein, but even bigger people recently, Napoleon Bonaparte, Winston Churchill, they're all insignificant people. Because their activities had no connection with Krishna. But as soon as one serves Krishna, he becomes glorious. And Krishna sees that his glories are also become well known. So there's nothing bad that can happen to a devotee. And the only bad thing that ever happens to devotees is they forget Krishna. And they think, oh, this is happening. It must be that Krishna is not in control. So if something happens, then all we can do, actually, our fear is, well, okay, if you're surrendered to Krishna, then Krishna takes care of you. But what if I'm not surrendered to Krishna? Then what? Then I am the victim of the material energy. Well, then surrender to Krishna. Don't be the victim of the material energy. Anybody can get out of the material energy like that. It's a question of how we wish to be conducted. Whose order am I following? When I say that I'm not following any orders, I'm independent, free agent, I can do whatever I like, as Prabhupada says, whimsical, I can act according to my whim, then I am actually being controlled by material nature. I don't know it, but actually the product of my own body and my own mind are dictating to me. I'm controlled by chemicals, hormones, things like that, by my senses, by my mind, by the modes of passion and ignorance, just like a puppet. And I'm saying to myself, I have free will, I'm making decisions, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, but actually, it's already mapped out what you're going to do. A good astrologer can tell you practically everything. And you're just going to have to enjoy or suffer the reactions of your past activities. So that's one way of being controlled. When you say, no one's controlling me, I'm the master of my fate and so on, I do what I want. And then the alternative is, let me be controlled by Krishna. Oh, that becomes a very practical matter. How do I get controlled by Krishna? I have to follow Krishna's order. And Krishna's order is that one has to follow the order of his devotee, his Krishna system, so that one accepts spiritual master. this word is used, master. So of course we're 20th century people. The whole effort of the last couple of centuries has been to get rid of masters. They've been hanging from lampposts and having their bodies guillotined all over the world now for the last couple of centuries. The masters. This is the era of the revolt of the slaves, you know. Nobody wants any masters. So Prabhupada comes along with this phrase, spiritual master, and gives us all the name Das, which if you look up in the Sanskrit dictionary means slave. That's right. We always say servant, that's being a little gentle on the mind. It means slave. Slaves of Krishna. Because that means that a devotee becomes the property of Krishna. Actually, we're already the property of Krishna. That's the thing. It's just this illusion here that we think that. So, of course, in the material world, nobody wants to be the servant, or to speak of the slave. Because of the failure of masters. There's two ways you can go. When masters fail, you can say, oh well, what's wrong is the concept of masters whatsoever, and let everyone be master. Let there be no serving class, no class of masters. Just like kings. Kings are obsolete institution in the world. In the United States, you know, we don't think well of kings at all, since our whole country was born in a revolution against King George II of England. And that was the whole atmosphere. After that, you know, there was the French Revolution, also got rid of kings. Priests, too, when they could. One of the philosophers of the French Revolution, Diderot, said that mankind will never be free, he said, until the last king is strangled by the entrails of the last priest. Entrails means intestines. That's what he said. Mankind will never be free. So, corrupt priests, corrupt king. So, no more kings, no more priests. No more masters. Corrupt masters. Exploitation of the servants, of the slaves by the masters, and so on. So look what Srila Prabhupada is doing. He's bringing back masters. He's bringing back kings. He's bringing back priests. He's bringing back shudras. And Prabhupada thinks we're going to do it right. You start with actual brahmanas. And everything else will fall into place. If they're actually pure brahmanas, actually understand the desire of Krishna. What is that pure Brahma? He's servant of Krishna. He's not like the Sringi trying to become the master. But actually the servant of Krishna. But we take this revolutionary attitude. The people have waged war on king, they've waged war on priest, but also they're waging war on God. They want to see universal democracy everywhere. And so there is no God. Or some theologians have propounded the idea that God is a president more than a king, has to stand for re-election and so on. Has to respond to the will of the majority. Getting rid of the monarchical idea, and they want to get a God who works by polls. Whatever the desire of the majority of the creatures is, God adapts himself to it. the president. You can vote him out of office, get a new one in, something like that. So we have to accept the situation as dasa. This is the eternal class division in transcendence. Here we have class division in this world. We have masters and slaves, and all the slaves want to kill the masters and take their place. That's because everybody in the material world is a slave who wants to be a master. But the actual master is Krishna. And that division can't be crossed. The jiva tattva cannot cross over and assume the position of a Vishnu tattva. That's what we're trying to do here. Every jiva is trying to become God and turn the other jivas into his slaves. But there's always a dispute because everyone is trying to do that. So that makes this world an ugly place. They end up killing each other at phenomenal rates because of this. So our business is to become the servant of Krishna, the slave of Krishna, accept everything that comes from him. It's good. It's the will of Krishna. This is not oriental fatalism. If we accept like this, how will there be any progress, and so on and so on. So what progress? Where's the progress? It's just a fact. Fact of perception. So anyway, that's what we learn here from the story of King Chitraketu. Any questions? Yeah. Oh, well, what he was, he thought that Brahmins were better than Kshatriyas. He thought that Kshatriyas were nasty upstarts who shouldn't do anything, and that he was very became proud. Prabhupada says in his commentary to that passage that this pride on the part of the Brahmins was the beginning of Kali Yuga. So when Kali entered, when the Brahmanas became proud of their position and started thinking of themselves as better than everybody else. So it begins with the corruption of the Brahminical class. They have more knowledge, they have more education, they're situated in the mode of goodness. Once they become proud of this, think I'm better than everybody else, as people who have more education, etc., tend to do, things begin to fall apart. That's what happened. So he, very unnecessarily, for a very slight thing, he cursed Maharaj Parikshit. And his father was quite upset about the whole thing.
It seems that King Chitraketu's curse, that his behavior, all the curses and benediction, didn't seem like it also was a weapon. The thought that although everyone knew he was exalted, that just that little loose behavior, that he was
That's right. Yeah, that's also part of the story. Anything else? Yes? I'm sorry?
The sense of ecstasy he was speaking about, when they will come eventually, they will be like road signs that were.
Road signs? Yeah. Sure.
But how can you think, well, it's just an imagination?
If there's no lust, greed, and anger, you know it. You can see how people act. Is a person tolerant? Do they not waste any moment in doing anything but Krishna's service? The behavior is there. What's not there? Are they always eager to hear and chant the glories of the Lord? They're free from pride. These are, you have to judge these things. hard to fake those stuff over a long course of time. You can always lay down and foam at the mouth for a little while, but try to make it through a week without showing any pride. If you're actually proud, it's hard. Yes.
When someone is covered by the rules of nature, is it possible for them to see when someone isn't covered by the
rules? You can. Sometimes someone's covered by the modes of nature, he may not be able to judge. It says that when the moon appeared in the ocean of milk, there were apparently other aquatics in that ocean. When they saw the moon, they said, "What a big fish." And they couldn't.